It's time for Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Sunday with Under Your Home with DryZone. I'm here again. This is Brad. I'm here again with company owner Bill Anderson and sales manager Derek McCara. So before we get started, let's go ahead and give out the contact info just to be sure we don't miss it. Locally, we're at 302-684-5034. You can get us online with DryZone.com, or you can go ahead and send us an email if you like. The general email box is info@DryZone.com, or you can send it to Bill directly with Bill@DryZone.com. All right, what are we going to talk about this morning, guys?
Let's talk about one of the biggest issues that we have around here. Let's actually talk about water underneath crawl spaces, water in basement, the humidity issues that are caused from it, the damage it actually causes, everything from health problems all the way through having to, of course, the most expensive is, you know, repairing the lumber and drywall cracks and so on and so forth. So that's a good topic for today.
It's very universal, which is a nice way to reach a lot of different kinds of people with a lot of different kinds of problems. It's universal in the fact that you'll see humidity and mold and mildew and things like that in a basement as well as in a crawl space. So definitely pay attention. This is going to be a good one. Let's start off with something pretty simple. What defines humidity?
Humidity is it's water in the air.
Water in the air. That's a good description.
I guess that's probably the easiest way to explain it. You know, we actually have this thing at the office, and I always get one at the fair because it always ends up breaking because some of my sales guys are children. But
hey,
no, it's present company excluded, of course.
It's basically, I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but it's like this expandable ball, right? And it almost makes like it's made out of Legos or something. And all it does is it just simply gets larger and it compacts it on itself, right? It implodes on itself.
Like a toy that you get at one of the little stands, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
When air basically gets warm, it absorbs moisture.
Mm-hmm.
If you take I'm holding a nice bottle of water here. I'm not going to give out the name. I don't think we're allowed to do that on the radios. When you actually hold a bottle of water and you fill it with water, right? And that's what air does. It expands and it actually sucks the water up. So that's why in the summertime, it's so muggy and sticky and hot and gross outside because of the humidity rises. In the same turn, when it's hot, it expands and it holds all this moisture. When it's cold, it shrinks and it compresses and that water comes out.
And that's where you get the drips.
It's very much like if you take that same bottle of water in the refrigerator, when it's in the refrigerator, you have whatever temperature it is, you have constant temperature inside the refrigerator, so you don't get any condensation on the outside of your bottle. You take that same bottle of water outside the refrigerator, and everybody says it sweats, right? And it's not actually sweating, but because if it was, that means the water would literally come through the bottle.
Yeah, it means the aluminum or the plastic or whatever would just start leaking.
Yes. So what it's doing is it's basically the air shrinking. So in the wintertime, if you notice, it gets really dry down here, right? I mean, it's in my house, I have electric forced air. Completely dry. It just dries out my skin, my forehead, my elbows, my knees. They all get chapped
or
whatever.
Chapped lips and all. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in my house, we actually have to run a humidifier, which goes against every single thing, you know, that we're taught all year long is put some moisture in your home, you know. But your house has to have some type of moisture, right? It can't be too dry.
Huh.
That's basically what humidity is. It's air and water, or
so
water and air.
Yeah, like the easy, like, I mean, Bill has a great analogy. It's when people say it can't sweat, it's obviously not sweating. What it's doing is it's pulling the water out of the air and it's sticking to the outside of the can or the bottle or whatever. So that's actually what you see. And to bring that into more of a home scenario, your water pipes underneath your home, your air conditioning ducts, even if you don't have air conditioning ducts under your home, you're definitely going to have some sort of pipe works or something down there. It's going to be cold water going through there. Even if it's room temperature water, it's going to be cooler than the air most of the time in the summer. So you're going to get the dripping. The insulation, for instance, the wood, that's going to be cooler, drier than the air itself. So it's going to attract the moisture out of the air to stick to it. And that's when you get the drips, the condensation. That all leads to rot. It leads to mold. It leads to really disgusting, nasty, dank conditions that you just don't want. So I think, Derek, what you were wanting to talk about today is basically the products that fix that and how we use them.
Right, and let's try to put it in layman's terms as best we can as far as how this condition happens. How does this problem arise? Well, a long time ago, and still to this very day, some people believe that vented crawl spaces are the way to go. And the idea, it really kind of makes, what made sense to me, and it made sense to everybody out there, that if we have this, we recognize that there was a moisture problem in our crawl space. So what did they do? They simply thought that if we put vents in the crawl space, we could get some airflow underneath this home. Well, the idea sounds right, but if you follow the science, it's completely wrong. What happens is a home has an airflow in it. It's actually called the stack effect. And that airflow starts from the very in the crawl space, and it gets pulled through the home all the way up through the house into the living area, and then it goes up into the attic, and then of course it escapes out your attic vents. Now the problem with that is it actually creates a vacuum in the crawl space, because if we remove the air from the crawl space and we travel it through the home, then of course we've got to replace that air with something. We can't have a void down there. So the vents are there. And in theory, everyone thought that we could get an airflow down there, but the problem is the only airflow in a crawl space is air gets sucked into the vents. Now, naturally, it's cooler in the summertime down there, and it's warmer in the wintertime underneath the home than it is the ambient air outside. So in the summertime is where we really run into some serious problems with it. That air gets replaced with damp, warm air that's outside, and it gets pulled into the crawl space. Well, when it collides with the cooler air in the crawl space, then we start getting condensation water all over everything, and of course, it drips, and that turns into humidity. Now that humidity, because of the stack effect, gets pulled, it starts wanting to come up through the home. So as that humidity gets pulled through the house, it goes into the, it gets pulled right past your insulation. Now I know a lot of you people have looked down in your crawl space and you've seen all of your insulation hanging down. It looks like pink stalactite hanging down everywhere.
Yeah, it's like a loose cotton candy.
Exactly, and it's horrible looking. And of course, everyone's worried about their insulation, which of course we'll talk about how that's not a big deal later. You really don't got to worry about insulation anymore if you use us. So what we wind up doing is, as that air gets pulled in, all right, it creates that humidity. It comes through the insulation. It starts to fall down. And of course, if we get our humidity level high enough, we actually start to cause mold can start to grow.
Right. You know? It's a mold, mildew. Wood rot is a big, big problem around here. Your wood could look fine, and then you actually take a probe of it and see how much water's in the wood, and it can be very, very wet. So it's something to keep an eye on, because the wood is the structure of your house. It's almost like if you let your bones in your body just degrade over time, you would literally fall apart and die. So why would you let your wood in your house start to rot and expect it to still be a healthy home, expect it to still be a stable home? The humidity is basically the root cause of most of these kinds of issues. And the way that we combat that, like Derek said, the vents are a big, big culprit in this, because it's sucking in humid, nasty, wet air essentially from outside, colliding with all that coolness in the crawl space, and then causes drips, your condensation and things. Step number one is, obviously, you want to stop that from happening. You want to block the outside air. And we do that through encapsulation. So that's going to be your clean space liner, goes up the walls, on the floor. We wrap your piers, which are your concrete supports or your metal supports, whatever it might be, that actually hold the wood up. The reason we do that, a lot of people think it's just for looks, but if you don't wrap those piers nice and tight, you're going to get a gap at the base of that liner, and basically your sealed system, quote unquote, isn't going to be sealed anymore. Everything we do is very functional. Yeah, it looks pretty. That's more of a fringe benefit, but it's very, very functional. Blocking the vents is another big one, because if you have those open vents, all you're doing is inviting new dirty air in. So we want to make sure those are nice and sealed up. And we actually use most of the time, we put a nice chunk of insulation in there. It's a rigid foam board that we cut to size. And the nicest thing about that is, unlike your fiberglass insulation, your pink or yellow or whatever it might be, that it looks like nasty, dirty, loose cotton candy when it gets wet, this stuff will never be affected by water. You can literally take a piece of this Silver Glow insulation and put it in a pool of water, and it will gain no more weight because it doesn't hold any water at all. It's not a sponge whatsoever. So we put those in there, we seal those vents up nice and tight, and then we encapsulate. After that, obviously, like Derek said, you don't want to create a vacuum down there, so you want to make sure that you dry the existing air, and he'll tell you a little bit about what we use there.
So Brad's talked about the encapsulation with the 20 mil liner that we have. It's called Clean Space, and we've talked about sealing the vents up. Now, the problem with that is, it's impossible to seal a crawl space 100%. Even though we try really, really hard, I mean, we'll go through there, look for any light coming through, we'll foam it up, we'll do whatever it takes to seal that up as tight as we possibly can. But there's always going to be a vacuum on the crawl space. So, you know, you can pass as much air through a pinhole as you can pass through a open door. You just have to change the velocity of the air coming in. So we're still going to have moist air that's seeping in through. So in that situation, what we have to do is we have to take care of that little bit of air that does get in that's carrying moisture with it. So what we do in that case is we have what's called a Santa Dry CX air system. This air system has actually got a air filtration system along with a particular dehumidification. So what it does is it actually draws in the damp, dirty air. And when we talk about dirty air, we're talking about air that's full of bacteria, mildew, mold, spores, fungus, you name it, the dirty air. And what it does is it filters out the dirty air, then it dries and it blows out dry, clean air all around the crawl space, drying the entire crawl space, and then it's that dry air that's now being pulled upstairs that helps dry the entire home.
And what I think is really impressive about the machine in general and just any dehumidifier air system that we use is that it's sized appropriately. A lot of folks are like, well, I have a dehumidifier in my basement or I have a dehumidifier in my crawl space, and you may well, and the box, I'm sure when you bought it, said dehumidifier on it. Problem is the machines that are readily available at your big box stores or whatever, they're just not sized appropriately for a huge open space like a basement or a crawl space. And one thing I've noticed when I first moved here almost 10 years ago on Delmarva, my folks have been here a little longer than that, there's a lot of ranch houses here. Like, I grew up all over the place, military family, but I'm used to seeing two-story houses or split levels or things like that. There's a lot of ranch houses on Delmarva because a lot of folks retire here and they want, you know, one level, no stairs, that sort of thing. And it, with a ranch house comes a big footprint. So you figure if your house is 1,500 square feet or 1,800 square feet, whatever it might be, your crawl space is just as big most of the time. If you're trying to use a dehumidifier that's rated for, let's say 300 or 400 square feet, you're going to need 5 or 6 of those things to do a big house. And at that point, all of a sudden, your $300 purchase is no longer a $300 purchase. You're basically throwing money down the drain at that point.
Well, you really and truly are, because I think what really needs to be addressed is that even if you bought 5 or 6 of them, you still couldn't get the job done. And if you remember correctly, when we were talking earlier, we were talking about the air filtration system that comes along with an air machine that we put underneath the home. If you use your typical box store dehumidifiers, what you're doing there, when I was talking about the dirty air, is they don't have filtration systems on them. So what you're doing is you're sucking in that damp, dirty air, and then you're blowing out dry, dirty air. So what you're really doing, since it's not capable of handling the square footage in the first place, is now you're actually, since mold spores are microscopic, you're now blowing mold spores all over the place because you haven't cleaned the air before you decided to blow it all out again. So at that point where you didn't have, I mean, normally common sense would say, okay, well, I think my wood is really dark over here, so I'm going to put this dehumidifier over here to handle this area over here. Well, the next thing you know, now because you've blown mold spores all over the place, now in an area that the dehumidifier isn't capable of reaching, those mold spores are microscopic, they can be blown a long ways, even out of the reach of the dry area. So now what we have is we have mold spores that have been blown back into a damp area, and an area where you didn't have mold before, guess what? Yeah, now you have.
You're making it worse, basically.
You're absolutely right.
Another thing, too, is just to touch on real quick for, how are we doing on time, Bill?
We actually have about 30, 40 seconds. So.
Okay, so let me wrap this up. We'll come back after commercial and talk about it, but before we go, let me go ahead and give you our contact info so you can get a hold of us. The local number is 302-684-5034, and you can get us always online. dryzone.com. Send us an email if you like, info@dryzone.com or bill@dryzone.com. All right, we'll be back in just a few. Enjoy these commercials.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Do you work with or are you a member of an organization that provides employment information or job referrals? Any organization that regularly distributes employment information to job seekers or refers candidates to employers is eligible to receive information about our job vacancies. To be contacted when we have jobs available, contact Beverly Jones by mail, P.O. Box 237, Cambridge, Maryland 21613, fax at 410-228-0130, or by email at bjones211@comcast.net. You will then receive periodic announcements of jobs at our stations. MTS Broadcasting LLC is an equal opportunity employer. employer.
Here's a thought for businesses. If the sky began to fall right now, you'd hear about it right now on the radio. Tomorrow you'd read about it as history in the paper. Radio advertising. It's timely, it's frequent, it's in your home, in your car, in your office, on the beach. It's everywhere. And it's cost effective. Let me put the power of radio to work for you. Call 410-228-4800 or click sales on our homepage at mtslive.com.
Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
And we're back. Thanks again for joining us, folks. Before we went to break, I was talking a little bit about, we're all talking a little bit about the dehumidifiers that we use and drying the air and how they affect mold conditions and airflow and things like that. So one thing I wanted to touch on, too, is nowadays, almost everyone that owns a home is very energy conscious. And this is a big deal as far as dehumidifiers go, as far as the air systems that we use at DryZone. I mentioned earlier before the break that the smaller box store dehumidifiers are only capable of doing very small areas. Essentially, I like to tell people if you put one in your bedroom, you might be okay. You put one in your basement, that's the entire footprint, not so much. So if you have four or five of those things, now the little bit of energy increase off of one is multiplied by four or five. And now you're spending a lot of extra money for something that's not working to begin with. Our sand dry air system, for instance, uses very, very little electricity. And the neat little sort of intangible benefit from it is that it's cheaper to heat and cool dry air. So even that little bit of money you're spending on electricity, now your air conditioner or your heater works a lot easier or less hard, however you want to say it. Doesn't have to dry the air that it's conditioning. And the cost is almost counterbalanced, if not more to your benefit. So you're getting with a proper dehumidifier air system, like one of our Santa Dries, you're getting dry air, you're getting clean air, and you're getting energy savings. So, I mean, that's three major, major advantages to what we use.
Well, plus if you keep your HVAC equipment dry, it doesn't rust.
Yep.
If it doesn't rust, you don't have to replace it as soon. So, you know, hopefully you'd get, instead of 10 years or 15 years out of a HVAC system, you might be able to get metal.
Yeah, we're
rigs.
Not HVAC guys. We brought that up before. This is all guesswork, folks. So please don't call us and say, hey, you said it would last that long. But he's absolutely right. You know, it's the conditions in your crawl space affect more than just the crawl space. And you'd be amazed how many times we go to people's houses and you'll sit down with them and say, hey, you know, one of the questions we ask, very, very specific things, is, does anyone in the home suffer from allergies?
Or asthma.
Or asthma, exactly. It's all related to breathing, what kind of air you have in your home. And you'll hear, yeah, we have allergies, but it's, you know, it's seasonal or it's just pollen or things like that. The number one indoor allergen is actually dust mite droppings. And it's kind of gross to think about, so bear with me, but dust mites are basically microscopic insects that eat our skin cells when they slough off.
That's nasty in itself,
it's
Brad.
It's pretty disgusting. What's even more disgusting than that is that their droppings are actually airborne and they get in the air. And it's just like having airborne mold spores. You know, people breathe that in, they're allergic to it, they get allergy symptoms. The neat thing about dust mites is that they absorb water through their skin. That's how they basically drink. Because they're so small and they have no hard outer shell like a beetle would be, they actually drink it through their skin. So if you put dry air in the crawl space, which in turn comes up into the house, dust mites die off, which means that you don't have the droppings to breathe in, which means you have cleaner air coming in.
One less allergy.
One less allergen, right. And you may think...
And the fact that it's not even just one less allergen, it's the number one.
Exactly. It's
indoor
the
allergen.
biggest indoor
right.
allergen.
You're correct.
And most folks that, you know, oh, I'm allergic to pollen, or I get the sniffles in the when the pollen's on the trees and all that, you're probably allergic to other stuff. I mean, I don't think I've ever met anybody that was allergic to one thing and one thing only. Anybody that has less allergens available to them, if they're at all susceptible, they're going to receive a benefit immediately. So it's one of the things we get a lot. You know, you'll ask somebody, do you have allergies? And they say, yes, I do, but it's less stuff. We encapsulate, we dry the air, and then they call us back and they're like, I am sleeping better. I'm waking up with no headaches. When I wake up, I don't have that knot in my throat that I used to have. It's little things like that, and that's a huge benefit for me, I think.
You know, we were talking about the energy savings, and one way I like to explain it to homeowners, and it makes perfect sense, is, you know, whether you have been or you have not been to, like, Arizona or Nevada, you realize that people actually are comfortable there at much higher temperatures. You know, it's not uncommon for Arizona to be at 110 degrees and people be out cutting their grass. And it's not because of the temperature is what makes you uncomfortable. It's the humidity in the air that makes you uncomfortable. The humidity in Arizona is very, very low. But now, if you take that same 110-degree temperature and you put that in Miami, Florida, it's almost unbearable to live there. You know, I used to live in Florida, and I would wake up in the morning, and they would say, today it's 90 degrees outside. The heat index feels like 105. Yep. That's because of the humidity that's in the air. Now, if we dry out the crawl space, and that dry air, like I said earlier, is now what's coming upstairs, the relative humidity inside the home itself, the living area, drops dramatically. When that happens, you can actually be in your home. The temperature, it might be the same as it used to be. The only difference is it's much drier. Just like in Arizona, you're much more comfortable at higher temperatures inside your home than you used to be once we've dried out the crawl space. So therefore, the chances of you turning on your AC dwindle down quite a bit.
Well, you're just going to feel better, and that's why I like to tell people. I could preach to you all day, tell you the benefits and how you're going to love it. At the end of the day, if you're not comfortable in your home, what's the point? When you really boil everything we do down, it's about making you comfortable in your own home, because, I mean, that's your safe place, basically. That's where you go at the end of the day. You know, all the troubles of the day just kind of melt away, and you're comfortable in your home. So that's what we aim to do.
I've got three kids, Brad. I don't know if going home all my troubles melt away, but anyways.
Not all of them, no.
Two dogs and a cat. Now, they don't all melt away, bud.
Maybe they change. Maybe the troubles change. But you know, it really does ring true, though, because I've seen a lot of folks where they come home, they're like, I just, you know, it's a rough day. I come home, I'm going to kick my shoes off, and then my house stinks.
Well, Brad, from what I understand, that, you know, if you purchase a dehumidifier and the encapsulation system, now I've heard Bill say this 100 times, that your kids get smarter and you fall into a lot more money than what you used to have. Is that
correct? You know, it's anything can happen.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know the exact figures on that, but I'm sure it's possible.
Yeah, is this where we have the big disclaimer that some things honestly are not true?
Yeah, we could sit here and tell you about the benefits all day long, like I said. But when you have lower energy bills, when you have better quality air, you feel
healthy
better.
Healthy home.
Healthy home. I mean, that's what it all comes down to, you know. There have been so many years where folks have just had dirty, nasty, stinky air in their crawl space, and they think it's the norm. Used to be that not being vaccinated for polio was the norm, but look how that turned out, you know. Now the disease is basically gone, if not gone 100%. I'm not a doctor, again, disclaimer, but... things change, you know, and this is one of those things that times are changing. We're part of the people that are out there trying to change the mentality of home builders, of new homeowners.
You know, there's other ways too that people, and they all have their place, but there's other ways to remove the microbial growth that's underneath your house / mold. You know, a lot of, you know, you can spray it with a chemical and kill it. But what you have to realize, and we offer that as well, and there's a time and a place for that particular application. But one thing, you know, if you're going to try that musty odors that you're smelling, that's mold, okay? That's microbial growth. That's the nasty stuff that you're smelling, all right? So you can spray it with a chemical and kill it. But what you have to think of is if your house was really dirty and you had a whole bunch of roaches in your house and you sprayed, you know, had somebody come in, the bug guy, and he sprayed them all, once the poison wears off, the roaches are coming back because you haven't changed the atmosphere, what they like, the reason why they're there. Now, it's the same thing with underneath the home. If you spray all your wood with a microbial growth remediation and you kill the mold, it's gonna die. It really is. It's actually gonna work. The problem is you haven't changed the reason why it's there in the first place. The reason why it's there in the first place is two things. One, the humidity level is too high and you've given it a food source. Mold's food source is anything that's organic. Now, we can't remove the organic food source, because if we did, then we'd be taking away your home, and I don't think you'd like that. But we can remove its water supply with encapsulation and with the dehumidifier. At that point, the mold goes into remediation and it's gone.
It kind of hibernates almost until hopefully you never get rid of the encapsulation, but it puts it in like a state of suspense where it can't grow, it can't spread.
Can't cause any damage,
exactly. I mean, mold's a living organism and it's absolutely essential to life, because if we didn't have it, then dead plants and animals would be never decaying and never go away. We'd just be littered with them. So we need it. So it's not something we can eradicate, but it doesn't need to be in your home. And I think that's a big thing. You know, it gets rid of that big hazard that's very common. I mean, it's something where you don't have to live with it anymore, folks. You know, it's not something where you have to say, well, every house has got mold, I guess I just live with it. No, you can be one of our homeowners and you can be someone that's happy. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, I wish I'd done this years ago, because, you know, I wouldn't have had that years of suffering through stuffed noses and coughing and headaches and everything else. Just get yourself a better quality of air and a better quality of life in your home.
Yeah, Brad, I think one of the really sad things is we get a lot of people that actually they let this go and they let this go and they let this go, and then they get ready to sell their home and the home inspector comes in, takes a look and goes, oh no, this ain't gonna work. And then the people decide that they're not gonna buy it unless you fix it. So they wind up having to fix it anyways. The sad part about it is they fix it for somebody else and they don't get to enjoy it themselves. And that's
brutal.
That is. That's hard.
It's rough to think that, you know, let's say you lived 5 years in that home and you lived with all the symptoms, and then someone comes in and says, no, you're going to fix it for my family. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, I lived with it, why can't you? And it's rough to think that I could have done without this and now I'm going to have to pay for it anyway. Definitely one of those. Reap the benefits of it. You're going to have to pay for it one way or another.
Yeah, and the sad part is a lot of times they're going to want more than just that off.
Oh, absolutely.
So they're going to say, no. You had years to fix this thing. And if you were going to do it right, you should have done it right. So instead of this $5,000 project that you were going to end up having to pay for, they're going to want a lot more than that off the house. Because if you didn't take care of that, what else didn't you take care of?
Well, I think a big thing, too, is that people hardly, as far as I know, I mean, I don't deal directly with real estate, but very rarely is it a dollar amount that they ask off. It's a percentage. Most of the time.
Well, from what I understand, that if your home has, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay, but from what I understand, if your home actually has microbial growth in it, it's actually considered a fixer-upper, isn't that right? I mean,
oh, I don't know about that. I've heard this several times.
I've heard that you can actually offer up to 25% less for the home, and this is what I've heard from real estate agents.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, we talk about, well, Gary and I do, my business partner, my father-in-law. It's not the value of is what somebody's willing to pay for something. And if somebody perceives something as damaged, then you're not going to want to pay as much.
Yep,
that's,
you know,
yeah,
so I mean,
absolutely.
Call it whatever you want. It's perceived value, and nobody's going to pay full price for something they deem is broken.
Yep.
So, you know, sometimes you literally have to spend a fair amount of money to fix something up just to bring it back up to how much it should cost to begin with.
It's an investment.
It is. It's hard to deal with when you're trying to sell a home, number one, because real estate market is starting to come back, but it's still very rough out there. And if you have to deal with this additional problem, plus think about, oh, I could have dealt with that a couple of years ago and reaped the benefits of it. So it's definitely something that's, you got to fix it before it becomes an issue, basically. So,
you know, I know that we get a lot of our homeowners that are actually, you know, they're doing this to their home. So, because not everybody sells. Some people are actually handing it down through the family, and they don't want to leave this problem to family members.
Yep. Leave it to your kids or grandkids or exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean, who's going to want their, I mean, you know, let's face it, it's not a very pleasant time in anybody's life when, you know, somebody goes, but having those kind of troubles on top of that, because you may want it to leave it to your kids, and your kids may say, hey, there's a whole lot of bills that are left over here, maybe, and so we need to get rid of it.
Well, right? And here's another thing, too, and this is just something I ran into recently. I'm working with one homeowner that, fortunately, her mother passed, and she's left with the estate and taking care of that sort of thing, but the house is in disrepair, and the stress of having to deal with a loss of a loved one is hard enough as it is, but then trying to sell the family home when it's in disrepair, I wouldn't want to leave that on my son. You know, it's not something I wouldn't want to do with them. So it's, you want to do the best you can for your family and the ones you leave behind. And it's, why not fix it, enjoy the benefits now, and then help them out in the future? Because I can tell you right now, if you have two identical houses, one of them's got encapsulation, the other one doesn't, the one with the encapsulation is most likely selling real quick.
Absolutely.
I like to tell people all the time, it's a great selling feature for several reasons, but if it were me looking to buy a house and I saw two houses that were relatively similar and I looked in one of the crawl spaces and it was clean and dry and just nice, that would make me think, wow, if they did that to their crawl space, the rest of the house must be awesome.
You know, it's funny, the worst place in the entire home, which is, a lot of people don't consider their crawl space part of their home, but I got news for them, it is. The worst place in the entire home that has dreaded people the most after we're done becomes the cleanest place in the home. And the air quality in the crawl space is better than the air quality up in the main part of the home.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's, I always laugh because you get people that are saying, oh, son, I'll never go in that crawl space ever. And then they follow you in once it's encapsulated. It never ceases to make me laugh because I'm thinking, wait, you said you were never coming in here. It's like, yeah, but it's clean now. I mean, I'll crawl in there in my jeans and my t-shirt now. That's no problem. Bring a sleeping bag. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, so we want to go ahead and wrap it up. But we'll be back again soon. Let me go ahead and give you the contact info so you can get a hold of us in the meantime. Locally, we're at 302-684-5034. You can get us online. That's dryzone.com. Sign up right online. Very convenient. You can also send us an email if you like. info@dryzone.com, or you can send it directly to Bill, and that's bill@dryzone.com. All right. Once again, thanks for joining us here on this lovely Sunday morning, and we'll see you again real soon.
You've been listening to Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware. Your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone.